You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Good, man. We're so glad that you're here with us in 2020, which is incredible. So many great things that are happening and going on. We kicked off last week. I'm already confused. Last week, we kicked off the decade. Amazing to think about that we started the first Sunday of 2020 of a decade, of not just a year, but a decade, to be able to sit down and to say, okay, God, what do you have for us? We prayed together. We were able to look into God's word together. It was just a great thing. And we came up with something better than just resolutions. We came up with restolutions. That was our first two things, that we would have restolutions, things that we would stop doing. You know that the resolutions are pretty predictable. If you look at the top 10 resolutions for 2020, see if any of these surprise you. Number one, exercise more. Lose weight, get organized, learn a new skill or hobby, live life to the fullest, save more money. All of us are like, yeah, amen on that. Quit smoking, spend more time with family and friends, travel more, read more. Very predictable things to do. But what we're putting before ourselves is this, not things to do, but people to be. And that we want to be people that have a Sabbath heart in us. So we talked about out of Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20, that we wanted to be a person that has a Sabbath. This is what it said in Ezekiel chapter 20. You don't need to turn there. Just listen. Verse 20, it said this. It said, keep my Sabbath holy. Keep my Sabbath holy. And this will be a sign between you and me so that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And so he's saying, I want you to have a Sabbath heart. I want you to rest. Instead of more things to do, I actually want you to remove some things from your life. That we should do less as we step out into 2020. This is the only year we'll experience in our life that'll be a double-digit year. You weren't here for 1919. You're not going to be here for 2121. So for 2020, for 2020, that we'd step into this decade, step into this day, step into this week, step into this month, step into this year, saying we want to have some resolutions to go along with our resolutions. So what we did is in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20, because we're looking at chapter 20, verse 20 verses over these next couple of weeks, we had two of them. Number one was, I will rest in his provision, realizing my need. I put it in your listing guide. If you'll grab that, this is going to be a framework. Literally, by the end of this day, by the end of this time that we have together in God's word, you're going to be able to put this on your refrigerator, put this on your nightstand, put this on your dashboard and say, here's what I'm going to be about this year. So the first one is that I would rest in his provision, realizing my need. The second restolution, we began with restolutions, not resolutions. I will rest in knowing God. That's where we were last week. We're going to trust in his provision. We're going to trust in who he is, and we're going to rest in knowing God, that I want to rest in knowing God. So those are our resolutions. That's what we got together on number one, number two of last week, being able to take those things together. Now I want you, if you will, Siena, Cypress, downtown as well, the Loop as well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, okay? Acts chapter 20. Now, before we get too far from that, I want to give us what we said last week in our resolutions while you're turning in the scripture there. So this is what we got out of those two things. This was our phrase for this year. You ready? We're going to say this together, all together, loud and proud, all campuses on the count of three. One, two, three. I'll never get it all done, and that's okay. Isn't that a great way to start the year? Let's say it one more time together. I'll never get it all done, and that's okay. So those are our resolutions, and now we're looking into Acts chapter 20, verse 20, to get some resolutions here. Now, the Texans are playing today. It is going to be an amazing time. We're hoping for a victory, playoff time, and I'm so grateful to God for a couple things. One, we're in the playoffs, but secondly, that the game did not begin at noon. I want you to know what that does for my heart. God is in this place. It is awesome. That playoff football begins like, I think, 2:30, something like that. Not at noon is a great thing. So I'm supporting my Texans. Some of y'all are supporting at different campuses as well as the Loop. Supporting your Texans. It's awesome. But I thought this would be a great way for us to just, I want you to get your attention on Acts chapter 20, verse 20, okay? So what we're going to do today is, when I'm pointing at the scripture, I'm just going to say Acts 20, verse 20. And for those of y'all that are like, oh man, I don't know if I want to go to church because the pastor's always pointing his finger at me at different things happening, okay? So this is the deal. You need to do this. You need to obey this. Texans are number one. But now let's look at Acts 20, verse 20. We're actually going to start in verse 19, okay? Because every diamond needs a good setting, doesn't it? So we're going to look and we're going to get the setting of what this is about. So Acts 20, verse 20, I'll point my finger at you later, is in a setting of this. Paul is talking about the Ephesian elders, the heads of the church at Ephesus. He spent 3 years with them. It was the longest time he spent with anybody, was 3 years. So he loves these people. He cares for these people. And he's going to say a big goodbye. And this is what he's going to do in Acts chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. Isn't that great? 2019, 2020, as we're crossing over. Let's look at what it says here. He's going to give us some resolutions. We've had our resolutions in Ezekiel. We're going to get some resolutions here in 2020 about who we can be, not just what we do, who we can be. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears during the trials. Do you know that trials and tears bring humility? During the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. You know that I did not avoid proclaiming to you anything that was profitable or from teaching you publicly and from house to house. The first resolution that we have here of a 2020, we have resolutions, now we're going to have resolutions. Here's the first one. I resolve to humbly serve others. I resolve to humbly serve others. It's not about what you do. That's not where I'm going with this. It's about who you're going to be, that we want to be humble servants of Christ and humbly serve other people. So I resolve to humbly serve others. Let's say that together. One, two, three. I resolve to humbly serve others. Humility, though, comes through tears and through trials. It's usually not our successes that bring our humility, is it? It's our hurts. It's our losses. It's when we mess up, when we think we got it all right, and then we show up to that business and we go, oh my goodness, I got it all wrong. When we have that moment where we're wanting to be that godly husband, wanting to be that godly wife, wanting to be that godly kid or that godly parent, and we get in that moment and we end up at the end of it, we've got to apologize. That's what brings humility. Humility comes from our knees, and our knees often come from what Paul says here. In my tears, I taught you with all humility, but with tears. Why? Because of the trials that came from the plots that were against me. So the humility comes. That's tough news. Don't waste your trial. Don't waste your losses. Don't waste your mistakes. Let them be a place that you say, God, I knew I needed you, but I really know I need you now. And I need you, God, to do something in my life as I'm able to let this humility come. It's our trials, not our successes, that bring our humility. Therefore, we want to learn in our losses. We want to learn in our mistakes. And we've got to learn that as parents. We've got to learn that as kids. Kids, there's times you're going to have to come along and say, you know what? I thought I was all that, and I realize I don't know as much as I think I know. And I just need to apologize in this moment. I've been disobedient. I've been disrespectful. And I just want to offer that and just humbly come. And your parents will receive you in that with a hug because we've all been there before. We're still making mistakes as parents, and we always will as adults. But let's journey in this humility and let's resolve to humbly serve others. Humility comes, and it's shown best, I should say. Here's how humility is shown best. When you don't want to do it, but you do it with the right heart. When you don't want to do it, but you do it with the right heart. That's how humility is shown. Humility is shown when we serve other people. Humility is shown when we listen to folks when they have needs and cares. We show that to with our humility to say, I want to hear from you, not just speak about me. And I want to do it with the right heart. So this week, I've been trying to be a little bit more humbly serving within my family. I don't know if they've noticed. And because they might not have noticed, I just want to tell them as they're in this very room in front of thousands of people the things I've been doing this week. Because, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, do you know if it makes a sound or not? I'm not sure. If a husband does something nice and his wife doesn't sing, did he really do it, you know? So husbands, we got to tell our wives when we do nice things, right? If they didn't know it, we got to say, did you know what I did today? And, you know, because ladies, here's the truth. It's just bad news about us as men. Here's the bad news. Men, if someone else will do it, we will let them do it, okay? That's just how it works. So I've been trying to take out the trash a little bit more this week, help with the dishes a little bit more with this week, try to do those things this week to humbly serve. I don't want to do it, but I did it with the right heart. That's the other thing that's got to be a part of true humility, right? Because humility starts in the heart. And when the heart is right, then the actions can follow and it can be the right thing in what's happening. We've been fasting this week as staff and as deacons on what's called a Daniel fast. We're inviting everyone to fast in the month of January. We've done this before. This isn't new news for us as a church. In the month of January, to kick off the year, to fast one of three ways. One, you could do a Daniel fast, which is basically, we can give you a lot of information on our website about that. It's basically fruits, vegetables, grains, oils type of stuff. So it's not ranch dressing on your lettuce. It's kind of more oil-based type stuff, you know, kind of getting it down to the core. It's nuts. I've been eating all sorts of snacks like that. It's water to drink, which really messes with the coffee drinkers and the soda drinkers. But you realize your crutches and your cravings and your addictions when you go through things like this. And so a Daniel fast, you can find out more information. That's what we've been doing as staff and many deacons as well. That's what we've been doing. Or you could fast a day of just going food without food for a day. You say, Lord, I'm going to go without food so I can have more prayer. I'm going to spend my food time praying. I'm going to ache for you. I want what food is to the stomach for be what you are to my heart. Or you can just miss a meal. Just miss a meal. You can do that. So it's got an on-ramp for everybody to do something to fast for God's work in our city, our church, your family, your life, whatever it is you want to be able to do. So we've been going through a Daniel fast this past week. And here's what happened. In the middle of the Daniel fast, I got a gift sent to my office by a fellow minister that I'm good friends with. I had a time that we were able to kind of interact, and I guess it was helpful in his life. And so he sent me a thank you this week, sent to my office in the middle of the Daniel fast. I got two boxes of Tiff's treats. You know about Tiff's treats? Amazing thing. I'll even show you, it had thank you on the box here, okay? And to be able to have this, they sent these hot to my office. I got not one cookie, not just one kind of cookie. I got three levels of six cookies. I got 18 cookies that are happening right here. So, sir, you look like you would like a cookie. There you go. You can have a cookie. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Not only did I got 18 cookies, I got, I don't know what these are. I mean, just wedges of things coming in. I got three wedges of things coming in here. They were all here, 18 cookies and three big old wedges of stuff happening here. And I'm on the Daniel fast. Humility is doing what you don't want to do with the right heart. So I just sniffed them on the Daniel fast. And I said no, because I want something more than in my stomach. I want something in my heart. I want something in my heart. So I did put them in the refrigerator so that I could come back to them later. I want you to know they are still intact. And we'll warm these puppies up and get after it at some point, right? But to be able to have this moment here of this thing, to be able to in humility go, I didn't realize how weak I was until I got a few cookies coming to my office hot off out of the oven type of thing. Fasting will show you your weakness, won't it? It'll show you your weakness. And Paul says, I came to you in weakness and trembling, and I come and I say, I came to you, Ephesian elders, in humility. So let's resolve to be people. This year, this decade, I resolve to be a humble servant in my home, in my church, in my ministry, at your office, everywhere you go, to be a humble servant. Number two, and it's number four on your list because I'm just making a little list for you here. I resolve to courageously share my faith. I resolve to courageously share my faith. He said in verse 20, he went from house to house, and I taught you anything that was profitable for the teaching. And then in verse 21, he's going to say, here's who I proclaim my faith to, okay? So let's look at verse 21, chapter 20, verse 21. So this will take us even to the next year. I testify to both Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm going to proclaim it. That means a public proclamation in verse 20. And then I'm going to go house to house. Those are the house churches. I'm going to proclaim it even in the church. I'm going to proclaim it with people I know in these houses in a smaller group. I'm going to go to the Jewish people who have been honoring God throughout the Old Testament and worshiping the true God of Jehovah. I'm going to go to them and tell them the Savior has come, a Messiah has come. I'm going to go to the Gentiles, the Greeks, those that are outside of Judaism that have been worshiping idols. And I'm going to proclaim, watch, he's going to show us in verse 21, the who of the Jews and the Gentiles. That's basically everyone. You want to know the Greek word for that? Everyone, okay? That's what it is. Everybody. And then he says this, what am I going to proclaim to them? I'm going to proclaim to them about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The who is everyone. The what is repentance and faith in Jesus, okay? Here's what's unfortunate. In today's Christianity, we don't hear a lot about repentance anymore. Let me just tell you, there is sin. It is against God. It will result in eternity separated from God, in hell. And in that, how do we get out of that? Because we all have a tendency towards sin. We repent, which means I agree with God. This is sin. Doesn't matter what the culture says. What does God say? The culture will change over and over and over and over. And what they're all saying caused cancer 10 years ago, they'll say, that's the healthiest thing you ought to eat today. And they'll just change over and over and over. But there's even bigger than just health stuff. It's sin before God. Do you believe that there's sin? Do you understand that man does not decide what sin is? God decides what sin is. There's a holy God that's given us his word. It doesn't matter what's cool now. It matters what God says. And in that moment, we've got to then repent before God. This is very unpopular preaching I'm giving you right now. But it is biblical, true preaching. It's biblical and true, and I cannot, as a man of God or a preacher of the word, let you just keep walking down a road without saying sin is sin. Repentance, turning, agreeing with God and turning to his ways. And then here's the great thing. It doesn't end there. It says, and in faith in Jesus Christ. So he gives us the route of forgiveness because I need to repent. We all need to repent. We've all sinned before God in our attitudes and in our actions. Therefore, I need to place my faith in Jesus. What does that mean? That Jesus Christ came as the Son of God, died on the cross to pay for my sins, shed his blood to cover my attitude and actions. And I can receive the forgiveness of Jesus. So put these things together. I realize that I've sinned before God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My attitude, my action is not what God wants. My belief system is not what is concurrent with his word. So I want to repent from that. Lord, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. Your heaven is right. The world is not right. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And so, Lord, I trust in you. I believe in you. And I bring a whole lot of sin to you, God. And I repent, and I ask you to forgive me in faith. I trust in your death on the cross and resurrection to pay for my sins. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus. It ends awesome, and now I can go to heaven when I die. And so he resolved, he said, I resolve to courageously share my faith. We started off this school year talking about who's your one, who's the one person that God would put in your life that you could share your faith with about how wonderful Jesus is. What's that? Who's that one? Let me tell you, students, it's hard for you to share at school, but it was hard for me to share at school when I was at school. And it's hard for us an adult to share. It's going to be hard next year. It's going to be hard 10 years after that. It's going to be hard. It's always hard. That's why Paul says, I come to you with tears and trials of these plots against me, but I courageously shared my faith. Let's be people that share their faith because it's good news. It's great news. But how do we do that? We humbly serve them first, don't we? Do you see the order of that? We humbly serve. We studied Acts for a couple years in our church. And I don't know if you remember back then, if you studied that, if you were with us on the journey there or in my book, Unstoppable Gospel, I have a chapter called this. And it was three words that we used, and it's the same thing. We're saying it in a different way now, but it's these words: prayer, care, share. You remember that? Prayer, we pray for people. Who's your one? We're praying for people. Care, we humbly serve. Share, we courageously share. And so we want to keep doing that. That's the Christian life of prayer, care, and share in Cyprus and Siena and downtown as well. Prayer, care, share. Now let's look at our fifth, but our third one for today, our last one. And then we're going to wrap up our time together in just a couple minutes. And we're going to do what we did last week. Just giving you a fair warning. We're going to do what we did last week. We're going to stand up in just a minute. And I'm going to have given you about 25 minutes worth of message, and then we're going to pray together over these three things to be able to pray and to say, God, do your work. We want to really pray because we want January to really be a prayerful month as we launch this decade and this year. So introverts, get scared. You will make it, though. It will be okay. We made it through last week. It will be short. We'll be there. Here's our last one for this week. I resolve to be teachable. I resolve to be teachable. Okay? Let's say that together. One, two, three. I resolve to be teachable. Now, to be teachable, Paul's talking about teaching. Here's what I'm trying to get at. If we're going to be teaching, we've got to be teachable, don't we? I get to teach. That's a blessing. But I want to be teachable in my heart, in my life. So how are we teachable? Here's the phrase I want to give you. Open mind, open heart with a pen and a plan. Open mind, open heart with a pen and a plan. Hopefully you're taking notes on this right now. I'd love for you this year to make the notes you take on Sunday to be your quiet time on Monday. So that you could really get this in. You can just pull this out, go through the scripture, take it through and think about, oh yeah, that was good. Oh yeah, I wrote down a little bit on that point. But you take some things to be teachable. Open mind, open heart with a pen and a plan. I write down stuff all the time. I go to meetings and I write down things that I think are wise. I go to you know, when I hear preaching, I write down things. I always got a pen in my pocket. Because here's the deal. A short pencil is better than a long memory. So you got to write it down. You got to get it in there because you will forget what I said by first quarter of the Texans game, okay? Like, I know it was great and he had a big foam finger, but it was something about 2020. Write it down. Put it in your heart. So here's the plan. Open mind. I want you to do this with me. Everybody, all campus, you ready? Active. We're going to Vacation Bible School here. Open mind. Do that with me. Open mind. Open heart. With a pen and a plan. Ready? One more time. Open mind, open heart, with a pen and a plan. Okay? Write it down. Put it down. What if God speaks something to you? And you just go, oh yeah, oh yeah. Write it down. Look over it later. Have a pen and have a plan. What's the plan? Action point. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to put this in. Here's the deal. We want church to be spiritual growth in your life, not just come sit and listen. We want us to actually grow spiritually. So we're not going to just talk about praying in just a minute. We're going to stand up and we're going to pray. We're not just going to talk about we need to remember the things God says. We're going to write things down. We're going to take notes. And we're going to have an open mind, an open heart with a pen and a plan. And then that takes it to the next level. We are taught best when we really put into our lives. Students, you model this so well for us. You go to class every day. And I promise you, you're not sitting in physics going, I got this. I got this. This is good. You got your notebook open, you're writing stuff down, you're doing your homework later on what you heard, hopefully in that session, and it's being able to really get in your mind to put some things down. That's a great thing. So where have we been? Before we pray, here's where we've been. We began with resolutions last week, that we're going to rest in God, in His provision, realizing our need. We're never going to get it all done, but we're going to rest in knowing Him. We're going to have a Sabbath heart to really rest in knowing Him and take time away to spend time with God. We began with resolutions for the decade. Not you need to do more, not you need to lose more weight, not you need to quit smoking, not you need to exercise more. We need to begin with resolutions and then move to resolutions. Then we've got here, we're going to humbly serve others. We're going to courageously share our faith and we're going to be teachable. Those things are about who you can be, not just what you can do. You can be humble. You can be courageous. You can be a person that's teachable. And here's what I found in my life. You know what inspires me? I'm inspired by things I can be. I'm often weighted down with more things I got to do. But if I get about who I am and let the to-do come out of that, now I got some wind in my sails. I don't need another thing to do. I want to grow in who I am to be for Christ and then let the to-do come out of that. And that comes from a restful heart, restolutions, and resolutions. Daniel in chapter 1, verse 8, the beginning of the Daniel fast, it says, and Daniel determined in his heart not to eat the TIFF's treats that came to his office. Okay, that's the Message version. But the NIV says, Daniel determined in his heart not to eat the king's food. It took a plan to say, I'm not going to do this, because he knew what God was doing and who he was making him to be. So here's what we're going to do. You ready? Here's what we're going to do. Not this moment, this very second, but just in a couple seconds. We're going to stand up at all campuses, and I want you to get the picture in your mind. All over the city, to the north in Cypress, to the south in Siena, at the core at downtown, to the loop. We are going to pray throughout our city. Not just hear one guy pray and everybody go, But to be able to, everybody be praying. Now let me give you, we got two groups of folks. We got some folks, you love praying out loud. I'm going to ask you to dial it back a little bit, okay? So other people can pray as well in your group. Some of you, you're like, oh, pray out loud, pray out loud. Oh no, please don't make me pray out loud. That's the worst thing I could possibly do, is to pray out loud. You get the job of, you get to be the person in the circle, okay? So all you got to do, when somebody prays and you like it, you go, Now that'll encourage the person that likes to pray a lot to pray longer, but we're going to try to keep this whole thing together, all right? So in downtown, in Siena, and at the Loop as well, in Cypress, here's the three things we're going to pray for, okay? You ready? Here we go. Number one, we're going to pray to humbly serve. Number two, we're going to pray to courageously share. And number three, we're going to pray to be teachable. Do you see what we did? We're growing spiritually here because we're taking this as the three points of the message, and we're going to pray about them and ask God to do something great in us. Okay, you ready? Everybody, all campuses, stand up. Get in a group of about three or four. Don't let anybody be left out. You see somebody left out, invite them to be in your group. Maybe it's just your family, whatever it is. Shake a hand. Say, hi, my name is so-and-so. Get some folks maybe behind you. Jump in next to you. And in just a moment, we'll wrap it up. Won't take long. Introverts, we see you running to the door. All right. Meet each other. Get in that circle. These will be on the screen at all campuses. And start praying right there where you are for these three things. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We don't come in our own name. We come humbly in Jesus' name. Not pridefully in our own name, but in humility in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that this church, this place, all of our campuses would be known as humble servants, difference makers. Lord, what would our marriages be like if we humbly served one another? What would our parenting and kids' relationships with parents if we humbly served one another? And then, Lord, from that, give us the courage to share our faith. It's hard. It's scary. But let us be able to see our ones come to Christ. And Jesus, we come and we say, we want to be teachable. God, would you give us wisdom? Give us wisdom in our chapter of life. Teach us things. Let us receive that. We love you, Lord. We'd love to hear the rumble of prayer in the church. You said, for my church will be a house of prayer. And to hear the rumble of prayer is a blessing. We want to kick off this decade, kick off this year, with who we want to be in you. Let us truly grow spiritually. We don't want to just come to church and listen. We want to grow spiritually this year. And we ask for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.